I'm going to talk about numeric results done for the five-hub system. We really want to study the non-abelian quantum Hall effect. However, today I'm only going to tell you how the exact wave function compare with the Pfeffing wave function or anti-Pfeffing wave function. First, I want to briefly tell you the motivation of numeric study. Then I want to talk about results. So the results including a phase diagram. Phase diagram for the Kuhnen interaction plus three body interaction with a coefficient. In the last part of my talk, I want to tell you what we really want to do in the future. That work is mainly done by my postdoc, Hao Wan, and also in collaboration with Duncan Hu Dan. And we got interested in this problem due to two recent papers. One is by Michael Levine. And another one by me. Basically, those two papers remind us if Pfeffing is a candidate for the experimental observed five-half quantum Hall effect, then there is another state, which is anti-Pfeffing. And because the Pfeffing state, weak particle Hall symmetry. So if you use particle Hall operator acting on this Pfeffing state, you get some state different from the Pfeffing state. Here we call it anti-Pfeffing state. So Pfeffing state is like a particle form pair, and anti-Pfeffing is Hall form pair. So those two states are very different. And you can say there, if you have an open system, you can say their age is different. So those two states do not have overlap at some dynamic limit. And then if Pfeffing, we already know Pfeffing is the most likely candidate state for the experimental observed Pfeffing quantum Hall effect. Then the question is if that one is also candidate or some superposition of that one. So let me also mention the very briefly experimental results, fractional quantum Hall effect at 5-half Fermi. So I just want to mention what's obtained is transport measurement for rho xx and rho xy. Rho xy show a plateau at this right Fermi number. So rho xy is quantized at 2/5 h over e squared. And in the plateau region, rho xx to a minimum. In some good sample, that minimum is go to zero. Right? So here I want to emphasize in this plateau region, you only have just a minimum here. You do not show additional phase transition. So that's the argument suggests in the whole plateau region, we may just have one state, like a Pfeffing state or anti-Pfeffing state. we do not see a transition between fapping. There are no experimental evidence like a transition between fapping and anti-fapping. So when we go back to our system, like fractional quantum Hoare system, we know the dominant interaction is a two-body Kuhn interaction. It's Kuhn interaction. So that's why we can just like just usual Kuhn interaction is E squared over Rij. So that's one has particle symmetry. So if you have if you solve the ground state for the Kuhn interaction, you should get a wave function which preserves particle symmetry. So it should be so the ground state of Kuhn interaction should be an eigenstate of particle Hoare operator with eigenvalue plus one or minus one. So
this assumes you project to another level, you don't have any another level mixing, and
Right, exactly. Okay, if we only consider one another level, if then phi half is electron at half spinning, so you have the symmetry. So phi half system, so I should first mention we have lambda levels. Then for phi half finite means n equals 0 lambda level may be occupied by both spin. And n equals 1 lambda level is occupied by half occupied. So the when you do not consider coupling between the less nano level and the other higher nano level, you have particle Hoare symmetry. So the ground state should have particle Hoare symmetry as well. Then perturbation is, let me call it H prime. So you can consider excitation of particle Hoare excitation going into higher nano level. So basically, nano level. Coupling will generate additional term. Let me call it H prime, which breaks particle Hoare symmetry. But that's one may be a small perturbation. So we want to do some numeric calculation to model the Hamiltonian with Kuhn interaction and the additional term which break particle symmetry to see how easy the system will break particle symmetry or if you can have even a spontaneous particle symmetry broken. Question?
One question is, you're saying numerically it's possible that if I give you one state, you'll give me a different state.
Yeah.
In which in the second lambda level, you put holes instead of particles.
Yeah.
You don't mean that formally the Hamiltonian itself with 2.5 lambda levels will have any symmetry, is that right?
So what I mean is if I project the interaction into this lambda level, then at that finite number, you have particle symmetry.
Donna, so when you consider H prime, do you also consider since the first lambda level occupied by two spin populations, also consider spin populations?
Yeah, so you can have excitation by some particles move to the that's nano level. So actually, I'm going to not, we actually tried, but we couldn't get a form for the H prime, including all those excitations.
Why?
So, It's not we couldn't get a form, it's the form we got, we don't know how to deal with it. So what we do is we are going to model, just use three-body interaction as a, as a possible.
I still don't understand the technical difficulties of really writing the Hamiltonian down by looking at both up and the fluctuation will go up and down and with the spin, since you, but that is a real problem.
Yeah, that's definitely something one can pursue, but So let me be clear here. What we did is project just only consider the Hilbert space for electron occupies n equals 1 Landau level. Then the model Hamiltonian we consider is try to take into account the perturbation from Landau level cohomology. Is the model Hamiltonian we consider is the Kunin interaction plus the coefficient times three-body interaction. So that's why it's not anything we generate from the Landau level coupling. Instead, this is the three-body interaction which makes the Pfaffian Guan state of the interacting system. Hc equals negative sum over I smaller than j smaller than k. Then you have some symmetric coefficient. Then you have it's a delta function form.
Can you also tell me why three-body interactions are not particle hole symmetric or obvious why?
It has a form like in second quantization form in like a destroy then create particle here.
Right.
So when we try to shift those destruction operator to front, sometimes you get positive, sometimes you get negative.
You don't have it for quartic interactions.
Yeah.
That everybody is invading, is that right?
Yes.
If it had only four fermions.
Right. So the quantum other reason is not
particle.
Yeah, that's my understanding. The coefficient, it does not have particle symmetry, but it's also not when you do particle transformation, it's not also negative. It just don't have any symmetry. So the calculation. So let me first. So we do exact actualization. The Hilbert space is just electrons, polarized electrons. First excited Landau levels. So let's look at the spectrum. So the momentum is a good quantum number. So that's why it's like a pseudo momentum. So it's an example is you use Landau gauge, then you have momentum. Now one direction is a good quantum number, now another direction is not. However, you can recover translation. Magnetic translation invariant in another direction. That's one of the work Duncan did in the 80s, I think. So I want to show you some feature of the spectrum as a function of K.
When is this on a torus or is this on a sphere?
Oh, sorry, it's on the torus. Yeah, I wanted to mention.
Wrong. Duncan Donuts.
Okay. So the spectrum at different K, you have a lot of states. However, it seems you have three states together, and a lot of three states form a group. Then you have higher excited states. So let me mention what are those three. Actually, I should say there are six states. So that is spectrum. This is like a k equals in some units here, k equals 3. here k equals 4.2. So at those particular momentum, you have two more energy states, you have another state. At another momentum, those states form a low energy sector. And then you have a gap separates those low energy states with higher energy states. So how stable those low energy states are if you really have a gap here? That's one thing I want to show you. So we change the, we have a polar system. So you have a system size is like Lx, Ly, in unit of magnetic length. Each of that length is around like 10 magnetic lengths. Then the system size is determined by how many flux quantum into the system. So what we consider for that spectrum is the flux number is around 24 to 32. That's what one can usually do. And it corresponding to electron number, because electron is at half spinning. So electron number is always one half of flux number, n flux.
Because you kill the spin,
so,
right?
Yeah, there is no spin. Yeah. So the one and also other people that have some work show the spin polarized state has lower energy than the other state. But that one is still experimentally unclear. So we deform the system. One thing we can do is changing Ly a little bit different than Lx to see if the spectrum change. Another changing we can do is to make the angle between those two edge like not 90 degrees. So the spectrum is not stable when you change the aspect ratio. Let's call aspect ratio A equals Ly divided by Lx. What kind of change we can see? The most notable change is I tell you there is a gap here. However, when you change aspect ratio, the gap here closing. For any system size, we find out the gap can closing. So that indicates you do not really have very robust gap between the lower three states and the other excited states. It turned out, so each those state has a also the center of mass degeneracy too. So those six states corresponding, so those three levels corresponding to six states, they're corresponding to the Pfeffing and the anti-Pfeffing symmetrized compilation. And the other six corresponding to like anti-symmetrized superposition.
So
I'm suggesting there are no real gap between them. Low and the spectrum here.
I understand the structure. So the lower three states is the Pfeffian, and then the upper three states, you have two circles there.
Is that what? Yeah, yes. Here is including the particle, the center of mass degeneracy. Right. Here are six states, here are another six states. Then we need to do like overlap with the Pfeffing anti-Pfeffing. Then we know here is Pfeffing plus anti-Pfeffing. Then the other state are Pfeffing minus anti-Pfeffing. And for any system size, any geometry, we find out sometimes you see a clear gap, sometimes you don't. You can always fine-tune to make the gap closing.
So the gap between what?
So gap is between symmetry and anti-symmetry, symmetric state. So that's I think that's an indication you probably can have particle hole and what is spontaneous symmetry broken. It's not evidence, it's just a hint. You don't have a robust gap between symmetric state and anti-symmetric state. So that's one thing. Then we look at
So this is called VPD being zero. So
sorry. So this one is V3B equals zero. V3B equals zero. Then I want to show you the spectrum.
I didn't quite get what the evidence was for this proposal. Was it a conjecture? Was it a proposal that the split into the combinations of popping and popping, or is it some direct evidence or one?
So when you have a finite size system at V3B equals zero, the ground state has to be has to have the particle symmetry. Okay. So the spectrum does split into two groups. And the one group has, say, we compare with wave function, then we notice Pfeffing plus anti-Pfeffing. The other group is Pfeffing minus anti-Pfeffing. But by looking at how stable this spectrum are, the spectrum gap, we notice you don't have a robust gap. You can fine-tune to make those two groups of spectrum close to each other.
That's tunneling between the two.
Yeah.
So what happens when the gap goes? Okay. Vanishes there or what?
Yeah.
So this is a Coulomb result.
That's the Coulomb point. Then I'm going to put in some three bodies. So then you see what if the how those level like. If you have a phase transition, how those level like evolve in the presence of a three body interaction. So it's I like blackboard, but it's very difficult to do. So I should claim I'm an experimentalist who do numerical experiment. Use PowerPoint. So V3B. Then we have spectrum. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 stay here, and another 2 stay here. So each point, if I say that there are 4 stay, it actually didn't consider the trivial center of mass degeneracy. So we have 4 stay here, 2 stay here. What's happening is, the one will stay. We shift the energy as ground state. So all the energy is relative energy versus the lost state. So with three body, what's going on is this is always ground state, then you have another line. This is one line, this is another line, third line. Yes, let me just show you the figure here.
I approve.
So let me, I know what to draw. Let me draw this inset for you. The inset is easier to draw. This is V3 body. Then we have one ground state. And we have one another state. Then what we see is a level repulsion. That's about right. So those are three states in a relatively lower energy group. And those are three states in a relatively higher energy group. Those are two groups of states. And the aspect ratio we use here, A equal to 1/0.97. It's very close to 1. But when it's 1, here you have big gap. So that point is V3 body equals 0. So what I want to show you, even for that system, small size, you can see avoided level causing. And then those with the increasing of V3 body, those three states become degeneracy. And they have overlap with the Pfeffing states near 95% for all system size.
Also, in general, in general, then you would have some admixtures of the body and that.
Yeah.
And
In general, you have. So what we later the other result I want to show you. It looks at the transition happening at with three body for zero.
Transition between body and what's the transition?
So it's if you look at the spectra, it already indicates you may have a transition here. Because avoided the level causing, and but this is just an indication.
From what to what?
From the, so we think it's a first order transition. When you have negative with three body, you have anti-faffing. You have positive with three body, you have faffing. So only exactly with three body equals zero, you have some superposition like mixing, or that mixing may be reduced to zero. A thermodynamic limit, we don't know. But let me show you the results we indicate this transition, that's the first order transition. So this diagram, it shows we have V3 body, and we calculate overlap. So that's S is overlap equals 1. And only those points are beta. The 9th is just a joule for the.
So this is the overlap with?
The lowest level. So the lowest level is here. We calculate overlap with the faffing. So V3 body equals 0. And here it's like 0.5, and here like 1. So I tell you how small this V3 body is, or how big this V3 body is once I'm done with this diagram. So the overlap with faffing just jumps. Then overlap with anti-faffing. At this point, it's same thing. And it is reduced to zero this way. So that's why there is no point here. Right? So exactly equals zero because your function has this symmetry. You have same amount of overlap with faffing and with anti-faffing. So this side is the overlap with this side is setting overlap with our wave function. We use absolute value. And the other side is overlap with anti-faffing. So the real jump happens at with the body equals zero.
So if I really have a Coulomb, then I would have a 50-50 mixture.
Yes. Yeah, if you have Coulomb, you have for small size. For any size. For any size, without considering like a spontaneous symmetry broken. But in this diagram, it indicates if you have any perturbation like a three body, you may just immediately go into
the
whole world is just two-dimensional, right?
It's faffing
and anti-faffing.
Yes.
So the tunneling amplitude is like sigma 1 matrix.
Sigma
1. And the V3P is like sigma 3 matrix.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you crank up the sigma 3 enough, you will polarize it to be either spin up or spin down, which is faffian plus or anti-faffian.
Yeah.
So what's the relative size of these two terms of the tunneling amplitude to the V3B in real life?
He's saying the other term goes to zero at some dynamic limit. The trend that he's talking
because with faffing and anti-faffing has a different topological state. So that at this point, the tunneling is at small size. We can see tunneling is still pretty big, and the tunneling. So you calculate use anti-faffing wave function, and over through the Coulomb interaction, right? Or Hamiltonian, Coulomb Hamiltonian, then psi faffing. first one is around 0.1. And you do not see the indication when you go like put 10 electron, 8 electron to 14 electron, you do not see it reduce a lot. It does not reduce a lot.
It's
reduced by 20%.
Intuitive direct thing, but you just two microscopic states and no overlap. So you put in some interaction paper one state and you just jump immediately. It's like showing your cat, you just go into one state. Now, if I were to invent another Hamiltonian, not H3B, but H3B bar, then you immediately jump in that bar.
Yeah.
Right? So it just happened that she's just deliberately favoring the cat on the left side. And then.
So that's one would expect if you do a Monte Carlo, variational Monte Carlo calculation, it may go to zero. There are a lot of reasons to believe it should go to zero exponentially. Because those two states are topological distinct states, but we don't have any evidence at small size.
But you said from 10 to 14, you don't see a big drop?
You see like a 20%, 40% drop, not exponential drop. We hope it is exponential. So that's, if you look at the overlap, the fourth state, all those three states, the overlap with faffing and anti-faffing was similar to that one. But for another one, it's the other way as well.
So they are symmetric?
They are not symmetric. It's an S diagram. Right? It's made as one drawing. It's not symmetric. It's like this one. I show the overlap for lower three states. So if you have this side is overlap with faffing, that's positive with 3B. The other side, you only have a small window, you have big overlap. Otherwise, you don't have big overlap. So that's drawing I didn't really even roughly do right. It depends on the V3 body you put in. So that's the reason we also do the calculation for different form of V3 body. Because the V3 body, not V3 body, it's V3 body is coefficient, it's the Hamiltonian V3 body. That's one we put in. If you have a Kuhn interaction, if you take off Kuhn interaction, just consider that's one with positive sign. It's one state, it's the faffing state. However, if you have negative sign, it's one state, it's not an anti-faffing state. You need another V3 body. It's not symmetric. Yeah. To make it symmetric, we also did that calculation.
So what's the term that favors anti-faffing?
Okay, so there is a Hamiltonian you can write down, which give you anti-faffing as the one state. It has to be like, let's call it anti-faffing Hamiltonian. It's equal to particle conduct gate acting on H. I use H3B in general, then this P operator. Then you have to add some two-body interaction term. So that one has to be like a Houdin's potential with non-zero m equals 1 and m equals 3. So you have specific form. When you combine those two terms together, the Hamiltonian has the anti-faffing as the exact one state. So if we add something like that one, then we'll see the whole region you have anti-faffing, right? So in order to see that this is unbiased calculation, we also add the same Hamiltonian in the lowest Landau level Kuhn interaction, adding with the lowest Landau level Kuhn interaction, no, then you do not see any phase transition.
Why do you touch lower Landau levels?
Because you put in Kuhn interaction and interaction three body, right? So you want to say, if I don't have Kuhn interaction, I always with V3P positive, I always have faith instead. So what's the rule here? So it turns out if you change this one just to the lower, the Kuhn interaction projects into lower Landau level, you do not see any phase, something like phase transition. You do not see the jump. It goes just goes very slowly. It's just over here. Just go very slowly.
Oh, you
the spectrum also different.
Well, I'm confused. If I only have a three body interaction,
yeah.
I put the Coulomb interaction only in the lowest Landau level.
Yes.
Then I would be getting this overlap.
So sorry, overlap is very small. It's 10 minus 4.
So it's not even a Fabian, you say. Even you deliberately put
10 minus 4. Can you say again? Sorry.
I do not understand the
yeah.
Did you say that if I have a three-body interaction, which I would have thought favors the Fabian,
yes.
And you say if I put in the Coulomb interaction in the lowest Landau level, and that is the overlap you get.
Yeah.
But this overlap indicate that the ground state, which would have a very, would resemble very little with the Fabian,
yeah.
Even though one
yeah.
put the interaction that deliver favors, but the Coulomb
yeah.
interaction just spoil the whole thing, you say.
So what I'm saying, the magnitude of faffing, the three body interaction actually is relatively small. If you add this one with other Coulomb interaction.
Oh, with other Coulomb interaction, so much over here.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to show you a phase diagram. That phase diagram also change, like a pseudo potential.
Isn't it true that I should, if I want to do the higher, the next Landau level, then I would just, the Coulomb interaction I would use would be the Coulomb interaction projected to the higher Landau level,
yeah.
assuming the lowest Landau level is zero, you don't want to touch one.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
exactly.
That's my answer, right?
Yeah, I know. So let me explain again. If I deliberately put V3 body in some unit, which actually means my three body interaction is 100 times stronger than two body interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Then no matter what kind of two body interaction you have, you always have faffing state. But we don't know how to compare the actual, how to measure actual strength of V3 body. So we just change the Kuhn interaction instead of first Landau level one to the Kuhn interaction of lowest Landau level one, then we do not see any overlap with faffing state. So it means for just Kuhn interaction in the lower in the first Landau level, you already have stayed very very close to faffing and anti-faffing. It's just they were superposition together, so you use the perturbation, you can bring out each of them.
Yeah, I think that is an important point I forgot
yeah.
to ask. In your calculation, when you look at the ground state,
yeah.
is it really exactly a linear superposition between the fabric and that fabric, or do you need a little
no.
bit something else?
No, yeah, it's not really a simple superposition of faffing and anti-faffing.
So you do need
at this point, your overlap is usually around 50%. So the wave function is not exactly overlap with faffing plus anti-faffing,
uh-huh.
but it's 50%. So we know that the overlap is not an absolute measure, so the spectrum itself is also very meaningful. So the spectrum, once you put a very small three-body interaction, it opens a gap and you have just three states. Those three states has the same topological property as the setting. So we want to use different way to detecting that natural
frequency. Oh, you look at degeneracy.
Yeah, we look at degeneracy. And we also look at, so basically the degeneracy, and also we calculate the chain number for that case. And however, it seems there are other ways to calculate. So the argument is if you have a state very close to the overlap with fapping is new, like 90%, that's the same state with the same topological property. That's why it's also an open question.
Really? So, I get completely confused. I thought you said when you go under that limit, then I thought you just said that you.
So we checked the same quantum number, the gap is robust, and also the whole conductance is quantized. So we did test this. However, one point is the faffing and the anti-faffing, they have same whole conductance, but they have like a different thermal conductivity. So what kind of, we can do this, Berry phase by in that space. Like you have this aspect angle and you also have aspect ratio. So you can calculate Berry phase in the space where theta is changing adiabatically. And so that's what Duncan and us want to do, but we haven't finished anything. So because that Berry phase, it's different for the faffing state and the anti-faffing state. Then we can see if our Guan state has the same Berry phase as the faffing state or anti-faffing state, or actually also different number.
Sorry, what path do you
want to
take in this plane?
So in this plane, I think you define tau equals EI theta. Then you to form parameter, you can use, so that is one parameter. Another parameter has to be like aspect ratio. Yeah, so that's Nick Reed. Some suggesting that you have different shift on the sphere, then you have different viscosity for the faffing and the anti-faffing. It also means if you in the parameter space use that's aspect ratio and that's number, that's parameter tau, you get a different Berry phase.
But you need the Berry phase on a closed path, right?
Yes.
I just asked, what is the path in this complex tau plane that you want to take? What closed path can you take it in?
Theta is, I think you use tau, it's in a complex plane, then if tau changed by I.
I know, but how can you make it 2 pi?
You form a closed loop. It's just this closed loop is not give you exact quantize, integer quantize. It give you different quantize.
Only if it's a closed loop, it's fine. I just wanted to visualize.
Yeah, you can use a closed loop.
Say
theta change from 60 degrees to 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Then you can just R change from 1 to 0.5. So that's also a closed loop. However, that does not give you some universal quantize.
So
yeah,
it is still a loop.
Yes.
Different two values, two values of R,
yes.
You draw a loop.
Yeah. However, we don't know at small size if you have exact quantized value, because the boundary can be deformed. So let me just do the phase diagram and then finish. So the phase diagram, let me show two phase diagrams. One is H3B, which giving the faffing as a Guan state. What I show here is a phase boundary. Faffing.
Where's the x-axis?
Yeah, I need to say what is the x S's is theta V1. Y axis is V3D. Let me explain what is delta V1. Delta V1 is you have this Coulomb potential. This Coulomb potential. This Coulomb potential describes the Coulomb potential for the n equals 1 lambda level, then, which is different from n equals 0 lambda level. If you change delta V1 a little bit, then that Coulomb potential change a little bit. So that's the first component of Houdin's pseudo potential. So it's so that's changing is very small. What we want to emphasize is the phase space is a here is liquid phase, and at that side is the stripe. Phase. Then you have phasing and anti-phasing. So I should say that axis is V3 body equals zero. So I show you at the Coulomb point. Coulomb point is around here. This is Coulomb point. So that axis is moved to here. The Coulomb point. I showed you calculation around the pseudo potential. We didn't add any pseudo potential. Calculation is done with delta V1 equals zero and changing V3 body. We see positive V3 body give you phasing. Negative V3 body give you anti-phasing. But this is very small region. That's why it's continuous. Now we change this Houdin's pseudo potential a little bit. If you put very positive pseudo potential, you go to the fourth north lambda level. So here is just tell us there is a very small region of Houdin's pseudo potential. You have phasing and anti-phasing. If you go towards the pseudo potential, makes the Coulomb interaction very much like the Coulomb interaction n equals zero lambda level. You get a composite Fermi-Liquid state. And at the left-hand side, if you make it even softer, the Coulomb negative delta V1 means Coulomb interaction effectively softer, then you get stripe phase.
So all these are first-order transitions?
We argue it's a first-order transition. And those boundary, I think though, to the stripe phase looks more like a second-order transition. Because the stripe has small size, you just have a structure factor, you have peak, then...
What about the degeneracy?
Degeneracy is...
Those
states have special degeneracy, and here you have even higher degeneracy, because the stripe, you can book translation in a different way, one-dimensional, and that's why it's the non-degeneracy one state. But it looks like you have gapless nodes. So it's n equals 1 lambda level. If you can tune n equals lambda, 1 equals lambda level, it's an ideal, it's new ideal Coulomb interaction, which makes the phasing and deflecting stay very close to the possible candidate for the fractional quantum Hall effect. Let me show you one more figure. So that figure suggests the transition happening at V3 body equals. So V3 body as x axis from negative 0.1 to positive 0.1, middle is V3 body equals zero. Then we calculate something has nothing to do with the wave function, just energy, d squared E, d. V3 body square. So it's flat, and you have the downturn at the minimum at which you got it or zero. It's something like this one. So it really suggests how lesser this is. This is 0.01. I think it's more like 0.02. Yeah, because here is 0.1. Yeah. So the phase transition happens when you have very smooth V3 body. So a thermodynamic limit could happen even with very infinitesimal or very small V3 body. Okay, thank you.
I think, in my opinion, I think it's very important to look at the spin interactions. I think it's really like that. For example, the one side putting spin, each Fabian also has two spin degeneracy.
Yeah.
So they're actually four copies of Fabian and anti-Fabian, all spin up, spin down. And then one side spin interaction could therefore melt the phase boundary into a crossover.
I forgot to mention like a feature work we want to look at spin. One thing is if you have the disorder, then if you limit in spin fully polarized, you have a lot less configurations, then you may have higher energy than you have some low energy
spin cycles. Let's not make it complicated, because let's consider the pure system first. It's all another beast.
Yeah.
I think there can be a well-defined, what is a well-defined problem, since I'm doing four or eight particles, then there should be a well-defined answer with the spin. And physically, I find it very difficult to ignore it, because there's always such, especially the Lander level, it's not completely filled, the high Lander level, I can always pick two electrons, they not go up there, and then the other two electrons come down, and then with different spins. So there are always such spin fluctuations.
Yeah, for the pure system, we did calculation. Let's say put 10 electrons, you can put the 8 electron spin up, 2 electron spin down. They always go to the total spin equals, it's maximized, it's a ferromagnetic state. That's a ground state. So that's based on the small calculation. That's actually, Morph also had that kind of calculation, and also Adrian Figuin, the DMRG calculation, right? So for pure system, it's based on exact calculations, more or less established, spin-like to polarize.
I see. That is with the second nano level?
Without consider nano level coupling.
Oh.
Hmm.
I see.
Yeah. You want to consider nano level.
The actual Hamiltonian, not cutting it here and there. Okay.
Yeah, that's something. Maybe you, in the future, when we
because
DMRG works better, faster, maybe we want, there are people try to do that kind of thing.
The Hilbert space is huge, so
yeah, it's
you
huge.
Can do it. I mean, you're limited to small system sizes. The Hilbert space is too large, so you're limited to small system sizes.
How big can one do at the moment?
With DMRG, well, you can do roughly twice as large as.
Which is, don't know how many particles?
24 the electron or neutron, yeah.
Wow, it's much bigger than the 8 before. many years ago, it was 8, and now it's 24. It's pretty impressive.
It's DMRG.
Oh,
yeah. Exactly, you can go to 18. 18 without the cooling interaction angle.
Oh, I see,
it's easy to go to 16, but not easy to go to 18.
Questions?